frontin' like it's God's work, what y'all gon' do?
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to No One Is Illegal Radio. You were listening to a track called Angels with Dirty Faces by Homeboy Sandman. So as we head into 2011, and as we prepare for another year of people's resistance to systems of capitalism and colonialism and displacement, we want to begin with a look back at 2010, to the battles that we fought, to the victories that were won, and to the lessons that we have learned. I recall when we aired our show on the first day of January 2010, we deemed it would be a year of resistance. We predicted it would be a year that would see mobilizations of the scale that were unparalleled in Toronto's recent history. And what a year of resistance it was, from resisting the corporate Olympic circus to demanding status for all at the migrant-led May Day of Action, from the massive mobilizations of more than 40,000 people during the G20 summit to the mobilizations against racist immigration bills such as the proposed Bill C-49. We've won allies, we've made connections, and we've built relationships. We've won real victories when, just to name one example, the Shelter Sanctuary Status campaign successfully pushed out immigration enforcement from women's shelters. And we were saddened by the Christmas and New Year, when the Christmas and New Year's mobilizations by community members, teachers, and students failed to stop the deportation of Daniel Garcia. But we pledged to continue, and we pledged to ramp up our resistance until the day the systems of capitalism and colonialism crumble. Until the day all border walls are broken down. But before we roll up our sleeves and head into this another year of resistance, we'd like to pause a moment and reflect back on 2010. And to help us do that, we are joined by our co-hosts, Craig Fortier and Ryan Hayes, and by our special guest, SK Hassan. All three of them, of course, are known as Illegal Toronto members. And thanks so much for joining us today, guys.
Thanks, Yogi.
It's great. So maybe, guys, we could just start off by naming what you think were some of your highlights for 2010. What it is that you remember the most, what it is that you're passionate about the most.
Well, Yogi, you touched on it a bit, but I guess my memory for this year actually goes back about 4 years ago, and it was in a small meeting room in 2006 where the discussion of a small fledgling campaign called Don't Ask, Don't Tell began to happen, and people, even it might have been 2005, and people started to discuss and talk about how do we make people in our community feel ownership over the power to effectively push immigration enforcement out of the community. We recognize very strongly that the federal government isn't going to give anything to us and that we have to take it. And what we saw this year was something really special, and that was the SSS campaign really coalescing and coming together and building an example of how we can actually do this, how we can actually push immigration straight out of this city. And it took a lot of meetings, and it took a lot of, you know, negotiating amongst all these various women's shelters. But in the end, what I saw, which was beautiful, was not just when this resolution was passed and when immigration enforcement was forced to concede defeat, but rather that that belief of being able to really effectively control how immigration is done in this city can happen, and we can spread it and build it based on the model that SSS really put forward.
For sure, that's great. Craig, what about you, Hassan?
Well, my first memory, actually, or one of my cherished memories, and there are many, is of walking into the Convergence Center on Queen Street next to Parkdale, and we'd spent about 8 months building a mobilization that eventually saw 40,000 people on the street, over a week of demonstrations, forums, panels. But before it all began on the 18th of June, a few of us walked into this massive warehouse that had been, you know, cleaned up, and we'd put up these banners. And until then, it had not been real. You know, it was this thing that was coming. It was a train that was coming down, and suddenly it was there, and it was ours, and we owned it. And, you know, that for me, that memory sort of like kept me through that entire week, through the police resistance and the police repression that followed, and actually to the 12 days that I was in jail, to remember that, you know, we built something irrespective of what had happened. So that was very important to me.
Ryan?
I think one for me was the historic Pilgrimage for Freedom that was organized by migrant farm workers. I mean, to be able to be there with folks like Justicia for Migrant Workers who assisted, it was just so beautiful, because we know that the way that Canada's immigration laws work is to keep people in precarious status so that they do not have any rights. And for people knowing that, to turn around and say, no, we will organize when our fellow workers die on the job, when the Canadian government takes this model of temporary precarious work and tries to make it the de facto model for migration across the entire country, for people to march, and to march as far as we did from, you know, for hours, you know, going through the tomato capital of Ontario into Essex, all the way to Windsor. It was really beautiful and it was really powerful. And I'm really glad we were able to be there for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one more thing to sort of add on to that, my own recollection of May Day of Action 2010. I mean, I remember us leafletting and flyering in St. Jamestown, where we went up to, you know, we just randomly walked up to people's doors and we talked to them about resistance, about the regressive immigration policies that were coming down. And I remember walking along the strip where we actually walked down Parliament and talking to the various businesses who were in the area, right, about this huge mobilization that was to pass through their streets. And it was huge. I think, if I remember correctly, I think there was about 2,500 people who showed up that day. I think that was really powerful for me, I think.
Well, and something's changing, you know, and you can see that something's changing just in terms of how we are envisioning our actions, the creativity that we're seeing, especially over the last 2 years, and how the May Day of Action has unfolded in terms of the ability to surprise, the ability to provoke. You know, a great example being, you know, I remember walking over an overpass, and we're talking about, you know, St. Jamestown and Moss Park and Regent Park, which are the most densely populated immigrant communities in Toronto, and some say even in all of Canada. And to have this massive 50-foot banner dropping, saying, you know, fire Jason Kenney, fight Jason Kenney, and to hear just music and singing, a cappella singing from Rose from Lal, and people looking up to the skies and not even being able to see her because there's so many people and there's such a momentum, I think really shows the creativity that's building in this movement and the way that people are actually starting to own the idea of no one is illegal and make it a reality in the city.
Absolutely.
And just to sort of add on to it, the political process that we're engaged in is about two things. It's about creating power and it's about taking back power. And so when we're on the streets and we're fighting, you know, we're fighting for the kind of changes we want to see, when we're making the kind of demands we want, we're creating power. So between the 21st and the 27th of June, every day the demonstrations grew bigger. And for me, you know, the 24th of June, which is the largest Indigenous sovereignty demonstration in Toronto in decades, was such a powerful moment of allies coming together, of Indigenous communities coming together. You know, the Mohawk Warrior flag flying, the Unity flag leading. And so that was really important as well. I mean, when we talk about creating power, obviously the Shelter Sanctuary Status campaign is able to create power. But we've seen it in other places. We've seen the emergence of a number of new grassroots organizations. There's the worker assemblies. There is, you know, there's Environmental Justice Toronto. There's the disability action movement in the city strengthening. And for me, No One is Illegal is a rallying call, right? It's a rallying call that we see ourselves as part of a global anti-imperialist struggle. And when we are part of a global anti-imperialist struggle, we know that none of us will win until all of us win. And so the strengthening of social movement forces in this city coming together in solidarity is this process of creating power. Because we are coming on that day when we will take the city back for the poor, for the immigrants, for the undocumented people, for Indigenous people, for queer communities, for disabled communities, for women. Like, this city will be ours. And that's what we're working towards. And I think 2010 was a giant leap forward, irrespective of the beatings and the arrests and the burnouts that people are facing.
I mean, like Hassan, you were saying, irrespective of those beatings, we continue to come together. When, you know, a right-wing so-called populist mayor was elected, we were there, and we were there saying, we will be here. If he's saying Toronto is open for business, we will say Toronto is open for resistance, and we will make that a reality. And it was really beautiful to continue in that spirit of collaborative organizing, because we know that when we come together, we can take the city back. And that's, I think, something we really are going to take from 2010 and carry into 2011.
Absolutely. And I think just building on what you were saying too, I think one of the other things that kind of feeds off on that is that when more like the Bill C-49, which is, you know, one of the more regressive bills that was recently proposed, when that came, when that was proposed and when that was in the media, the kind of condemnation that sort of emerged, not just from No One Is Illegal, not just from the usual groups that you would expect is coming out, or from a broad spectrum of groups, right? I think that's kind of reflective of the connections that have been built, of the relationships that have been built. What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, the other thing that we really need to take into account is that we're seeing a real crackdown on a number of different communities and campaigns. And within that crackdown, historically and traditionally, what we've seen, you know, post like Quebec City or WTO or APAC, we've seen actually people split and clashes being heightened within that time. And in fact, what we're seeing is the opposite, that, you know, whether it be around C-49, where there was such a broad mobilization against it, whether it be around Rob Ford, or, I mean, just even a smaller events like when we saw, you know, broad support for the South Asian Women's Rights Organization around their fight for childcare and all-day daycare and kindergarten in the Teesdale area. You know, there was, you know, a building and growing support that's taking place there. And they were on our show earlier this year talking about that campaign, and that campaign has continued to grow and build from a really small base, and that's really critical to how we see this idea of power growing in the city.
And I think, you know, movements are built out of little fires. And sometimes those fires rage, and sometimes they actually feel like they're ebbing. So, you know, 2010 ended for us in No One Is Illegal, and for, you know, a large part of the Parkdale community with the deportation of Daniel Garcia. And Daniel Garcia was an organizer in Parkdale. He was 18 years old, and he was out there trying to work with undocumented people, with refugee youth in his community, and we were working with him for months. And then he was randomly grabbed on the street by police, who racially profiled him. They arrested him because they said that there was an immigration warrant out for him, which he had not known until that point. He was thrown into detention. And we found out about the detention sort of 24 hours after he had been arrested. And on Christmas Day, 50 people, teachers, students, Parkdale community members, you know, the Quakers, religious organizations, just generally everybody was out there supporting him. And then there was, you know, the demonstration the day after, and then there was petitions with 1,700 petitions signed, and then there were more demonstrations. I mean, within a week, every major newspaper in this country, every TV station, every radio station, people knew about what happened. And the conversation that began was not just that Daniel Garcia was being deported, but that this immigration system exists on exclusion. It exists on exploitation. And so I think we have to take, you know, we have to take the strengths, the victories as well as the losses, and then talk about, you know, I was just speaking to Daniel the other day, and, you know, he was saying how this needs to continue. You know, he understands that it's not just about him. And so, I mean, as we enter into this era, it's really about, you know, lighting more fires, lighting fires wherever they happen, and bringing them together into convergences when necessary, because 2011 is going to be the year of austerity cuts. And we just have to prepare to be stronger in the face of further attacks.
And that austerity doesn't just take the form of economic cuts and police beatings, but also we see from a No One Is Legal perspective, it's them trying to slam the door shut on migration. And so we're having a forum, and maybe we can plug that, but it's going to be called In Defense of Human Smuggling, or Can Human Smuggling Be Defended? Because this idea of movement has kind of under attack. And there's been a huge conflation between ideas like trafficking and smuggling. And what we're trying to do is put this in its proper context. We're saying, remember the Underground Railroad? This was an instance of smuggling. We're saying, remember people's right to free movement? This does not change. This must be defended and discussed. So we're having an event. Maybe Craig or Hassan, you could fill in the details on when that's happening and where.
So it's going to take place Tuesday, January 11th at, I believe, 7 p.m.? 7 p.m. 6:30, yeah. or 6:30 p.m. And it's going to take place at the Lillian H. Smith Library, which is at the corner of College and Huron Street. And folks should come out. There's going to be snacks and foods, and it's a free event, and it's a really important event where you can start to really engage with that discussion, because I think Ryan's right. It's really an important one. And I guess the other thing we should mention, too, is we are going to face significant struggles in the year to come, and one of the big ones being the mobilization of the English Defense League here on the streets of Toronto. And there is going to be a counter-mobilization organized for Tuesday of next week, which is Tuesday, January the 11th. And I believe that it's a really important event. You should check out, either join our Facebook or No One Is Illegal group at toronto.noonesillegal.org to get more information how you can make sure that the English Defense League does not determine the discussion for the year.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys. I think we are just about out of time, as much as I'd love to keep talking and continue this discussion. But I think we'll have to end there. But as Hassan said, you know, we are going to continue to keep lighting these little fires of resistance. And soon enough, I think they're not going to be so little anymore. As we head into 2011, I would encourage you to keep checking the No One Is Illegal website, toronto.noonesillegal.org. But right now, stay tuned for the Mothered Politic coming up.